It's got a past two. Now, as islanders, we're used to its ways and the changes that come with the seasons. It's been the place to be for cooling off this hot summer, but it won't be for too long before the wild winter storms whip the sea up again. As an island, we, of course, surrounded by water, and with it comes a rich maritime history. And whether it was during the 19th century when boats from St. Oban headed off to the fishing grounds of Newfoundland, or the more recent changes with ferry links to and from the UK, harbours around the island are vital. Well, as part of a joint heritage initiative for Hidden Treasures Week, you have a chance to discover a little more about the secret side of our island harbours. Well, I've sent Victoria, I thought out on a sunny day, but she says it's a bit cold down there by the sea. She's gone off to meet retired harbour master Brian Nibbs to find out more. It's a bit chilly down there, Victoria.
It is, Sarah, actually, yes. Although, saying that, the sun is just peeking around the clouds now. And I thought, as I say, I'd be standing by the sea as well, but it turns out to be one of the lowest tides of the year, so it's very, very dry here by what's known as English Harbour. And for many people, that would be known as the Old Harbour. And of course, the man who knows a lot more about the names behind these harbours and really why we're here is Captain Brian Nibbs. Captain Nibbs, can you tell me a little bit, why are we here today?
Well, Victoria, from where we are on the side of English Harbour, which it forms part of the Old Harbour, I could actually chat about seven hidden treasures, but seven or eight. But we'll concentrate on a couple for this talk.
Well, there's one you've pointed out, which I can actually just have a little sit on here. It's a bollard, which looks a little bit different. It's rather rusty, and anyone else would have just walked straight past it. So tell me more.
Yes, well, people do walk past it and probably never give it a minute's thought. But it's one of the two cannon bollards that are left in this harbour. After the end of the Napoleonic Wars, privateers, that was ships with cannons, who had letters of marque from the governor to act as pirates, really, were getting rid of their cannons. Many of them were used round harbours. There's two left in St Helier, one I know of in St Obin. And they were just suitable because they went straight down 4 feet below the surface, a couple of feet above, and marvellous for putting ropes round.
And right in front of us, another little thing that people who come with you on this Hidden Treasures Walk tomorrow will discover is that this spike on the wall isn't just a spike.
No, well, we have here two spikes, a big spike and the end of another spike. Someone knocked that off not knowing what it was. Across English Harbour during the occupation, the Germans built a latticework wooden bridge to carry a railway line across, which took ballast from St Obin's Bay round to Havre Départ. Now, quite an undertaking, because it's also got a little bit in the middle which could lift up for boats to go through. And it's things like this that, if they ever get knocked off and go, we've lost them. But fortunately, for my walk, I have pictures of the bridge. And I even, for anoraks, have on the back the various railway lines that the Germans built around the harbour.
Is there anyone actually making efforts to protect these, you know, as they say, you know, really are quite secretive bits of heritage? Are there any ways that we can make sure they're not lost forever? As you say, you think somebody knocked the other one, which we're looking at, just on the edge of the harbour wall, Old Harbour here, looking down to the boats and on the dry bed of the harbour.
Well, now I'm retired, I'm trying to get interest in doing that. I've taken photos, passed them through, of the things I think ought to be preserved. I mean, things like this, Neil Mara from the Heritage Trust would be able to give a marvellous way of preserving it. And it's little time, and once they've gone, they're gone. And just over the quay edge here, under about 3 feet of silt, is what we know as a graving dock, where ships used to come in, dry out on blocks that run along the centre line, and I've got pictures of ships sitting in the graving dock. So when I go round, and people, a lot of local people, that I know, they say they never knew about it. Well, to let you into a secret, I didn't know about it until I retired and started doing some research, getting some pictures. I've got some marvellous old postcards that have been copied, and it's so I can show how we are now and how we were in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Do you think it's really important, though, to preserve these things? Obviously, for someone like you who's retired now 10 years ago as a harbour master, and other people with a keen interest in the sea, it's really important for them to see these things. But, you know, time's evolving. We often need to develop things. Do we really need to keep all these tiny little things?
I think it's proportionate. It's a marvellous word, proportionate. It came out with EU law. But if we look up and see Fort Regent signal staff, that was renewed only a few days ago. There's been a signal station at Fort Regent since 1706. Why do we renew it? Because we like to maintain the traditions of hauling up flags. It looks exactly the same as the one that was taken down. And I'm all for, in proportion, keeping things that have some merit in our history.
We have got quite a rich maritime history, obviously, here. What do you think, perhaps, is the most important part to you of our history?
I think it's, say, the Maritime Museum. We've got an award-winning Maritime Museum. I always get a bit worried because my photo's in it, and I always thought you had to have passed on before your photo is in a museum. So that really does reflect Jersey's maritime history, and very well too. And the various artefacts we have round the harbour, you've probably noticed the benches with names of ships on, where they, the yard they were built. Jersey was a fantastic shipbuilding place in the early 1800s, right through till they started building steamships elsewhere. We then, wooden ships went out, steel ships came in, iron ships came in, we couldn't compete. But we have a fantastic shipbuilding history. All of that is known about, it's in the Maritime Museum. I talk about it when we go round. And it's just nice to remember the past, I think.
We're looking across here at the buildings just across the road from the harbour here, and they've got a history that perhaps people don't always appreciate. Commercial buildings there.
That's right, commercial buildings, or Merchant's Quay, or Le Quai, or Marchand, and started to be built in 1818. Quite different, really, because instead of the states putting up the money, the merchants themselves put up the money, and they started to build in the middle, halfway down the row, and there's just near where Norman's timber yard is, there's a plaque there all about it. And it not only were the merchants the buildings, but the wall that goes right round to where Pier Road goes up. And you imagine asking a quantity surveyor today to please give me a price for this wall. It's out of the question, couldn't do it. But without that wall, we wouldn't have Pier Road.
That's true. Looking across at it now, the cars going past, and looking across, of course, to the old harbour here. Now, this is something I might be alone with, but I often get in a muddle as to where and which these harbours are that we have here. Now, right beside us, we're English Harbour. Across, just behind Le Folie Inn, which was Le Folie Inn a long time ago, is French Harbour. Can you give us a little bit of a history as to why they're called that?
Well, both English Harbour, which is the northernmost one, form part of the Old Harbour. The Old Harbour itself is just a generic name, as are English and French harbours. The whole of St Helier Harbour history started in a corner of where the route of South Pier comes up. And I assume that in the 1800s people say that there were more English ships here, so this was English Harbour. French Harbour was perhaps local ships, local trade. Once a name is given, it sticks. But we have others, like the Victoria Pier, obviously named after Queen Victoria, and at the same time, Albert gave his name to the Albert Pier. So we have surrounding the harbour, like I call it the outer skins of an onion, the Victorian Albert Piers, which the Albert Pier, interestingly, started to be built 1847, the same year that they started building St Catherine's Breakwater. That always makes me think there must have been a lot of people over here building bridges, building breakwaters.
And still standing, so obviously building them pretty well.
Yes, they've stood the test of time. Every Saturday I always have breakfast at St Catherine's Cafe and then walk the breakwater. And it's amazing, every time I go out, it was a low tide last Saturday, and you see the foundations on which it's a splayed foundation, and they just built up from it. And the size of block they were handling then, with nothing more than a horse and a cart and a rope pulley, it's really quite amazing how they did it.
Well, Captain Brynev, thank you so much. Lots of little fascinating insights there, sounding like the foundations of our maritime history. And, of course, a lot more that people can discover when they come out with you. And I think I'll have a little quick stroll before I come back, Sarah. It's warming up a bit.
Thank you very much indeed, Victoria. So if you're inspired, then you can join Brian Nibbs for a pleasant stroll around St Heliers Harbour tomorrow at 10:30. The tour starts outside Jersey Tourism Building and it's a couple of hours. And obviously Brian there, a fantastic person to go around that area with. So thank you to him and Victoria.